working mothers currently spend as much time with their children in active, like, play and engagement with their children as stay-at-home moms did in the. We thought that the women who were college educated, who had working mothers, who, you know, delayed having babies to grow their career, were going to be able to make this transition much easier, and they are the ones that are struggling just as much as any other new mom. And so I think the first step is really just sitting down as a couple and having these conversations, and it's tough.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Thank you for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your podcast manager, Kristen Baffo, and with me today is CEO and founder of Mother Honestly, Blessing Adesion. And with us is our special guest, Mary Beth Ferrante from Live Work Lead. Thank you for joining us, Mary Beth.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Hi, Mary Beth. I mean,
Blessing.
I know you and I, we chatted a few weeks ago, I think, right before the holidays. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you on. And
you're
in Los Angeles, California, correct?
Yeah. I am.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
This is a milestone for our podcast because this is our first, like, remote call-in, like,
yeah, we're going global,
interview.
Guys. We're going global.
I love it. Yes. And it's, got my coffee early morning, always ready to roll with these podcasts. It's super fun.
I appreciate it.
Perfect, Mary Beth. So, Mary Beth, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got your start. In this space, because you do a lot of career related, you know, kind of balance between career and motherhood and supporting working parents. Can you give us a little bit of a background about who you are, how you got into this role, and what you're currently doing in that space?
Yeah, definitely. So first and foremost, I'm a mom of two. So I have two young girls, and I spent the majority of my corporate life in the corporate finance world. I think, you know, it's been kind of one of those things that has always been probably growing in me. I was the woman in my senior year of college who was in a women in leadership class dreaming of the C-suite and expecting to continue to climb my career and, you know, having no qualms about being a mother and also having a career, always just assuming that it would be easy. I was very naive. And I think that continued. I am the type of person, I think this says a lot, like, I read Lean In on my honeymoon. I mean, you know, I should be reading, like, romance novels, and here I am devouring career advice and then sharing it with my relatively very new husband, who was probably a little bit on guard realizing what he had just walked into.
He's like, this is my honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sharing with him Lean In and also telling him how he needs to lean into his career and how this is relevant for him. And, you know, so I've always been very career minded and driven in, you know, my own ambition. And so and I've had really great role models. I think that's the other piece. You know, my mother worked, my sisters worked, and the women around me that I was very close to all worked, even my grandmother. And so there was never a question about, you know, managing a career and motherhood. But I think what happened is that when I actually returned from maternity leave, that after my first child, I really recognized how broken the system is. I came back. I worked for an organization that is 250,000 people wide, you know, and so to be honest, they are trying. They have the family-friendly policies. I was very blessed to have 12 weeks of paid leave, and, you know, and we live in an environment in the U.S. where only 14% of women have access to any sort of paid leave. So,
correct.
You know, to have that opportunity was fantastic, but when I went back to work, I went back into a very niche team. I was working in consumer strategy. It was all ex-consultants, all men, and, you know, I worked in a world where my executive had not even shared with us that he had a second child. You know, it was just it was very bizarre. And, you know, my manager didn't have children. My peers were all men. I had one colleague who had kids, but it is a little, you know, we all know it's just different when you're the mother versus, you know, a second parent or a father, just in terms of, I think, expectations and even the
absolutely.
Expectations
we put on ourselves, there's a different right? expectation that is placed on women, you know, yes. because we're women and we're the one who birthed the child. And so mm-hmm. automatically we are positioned to be the primary caregiver and caretaker exactly. of that child.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and I think some of that is, you know, maybe there's biology at play, but it's also very systematic, right? Like, even just between my husband and I, he went back to work after a week, and I, you know, was out for 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that right there, you know, irregardless of breastfeeding and just, like, the nature aspect of mothering, I think the system is set up for us to, you know, become that primary parent very easily because, you know, that we just kind of fall into that, like, traditional gender role.
Absolutely. So Mary Beth, you went on maternity leave, you came back, you found out the system was broken. So what shifted your, you know, why did you, because I'm assuming now that you came into work, you found out it was broken, and then you decided to do something about it. So what was that shift? What really, how did you go from working full-time in corporate America, where most of your counterparts are male? I'm an engineer, so I'm very, very used to that. And and I'm also very used to working with male counterparts that don't have kids. And so it's definitely something that I actually recently, you know, I work for a large corporation as well, and seeking men that could basically speak to us about how do you align your goals and your ambition as a parent. And literally just about every man that, you know, we spoke to said, you know what, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have a spouse that was staying home. And I was like, say what?
They look at you almost with a blank stare. Like, what do you mean align my...
Yeah, and literally, you know, one of the directors was like, I don't think you're going to find any man that, you know, that is on our level that doesn't have a wife that stays home. Because that's what it takes for us to get here, is our wives sacrifice their own career to get there. And I literally started laughing because, you know, we now it is so unrealistic. We now live in an age where millennial mothers don't want to take the back seat. We want to have a thriving career. We want to have, you know, an equally thriving marriage. We want to be exceptional parents. I mean, we have a lot of expectations for ourselves. And so I literally laughed and I was like, I don't know that this is going to be a formula that works 10 years from now.
Well, and I think we're living in an economy where both parents need to be working. You can't just have one household bringing home the bacon.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and in about 60% of households, both parents work. That number actually skews higher in professional white-collar positions, which is interesting, right? Because it's kind of like a tipping point. So you get to a certain level where there's a certain salary level and a certain education level. Actually, women with MBAs are less likely to return to work because they typically are married to men who are of equal education. And
correct.
So they have the opportunity, they have the ability for one person to stay home, right? Whereas many families don't have that option and they need both incomes to survive. And so, you know, we're looking at a world where dual income households is becoming the norm, and either dual income or, you know, the mom is the primary and sole breadwinner, right, mm-hmm. for the family. And so it's only about 25-27% of families that have that traditional man as the breadwinner, female as the stay-at-home caretaker model, which is fascinating to think that we still have an environment and a culture in our work world that is really set up, you know. And I think Melinda Gates said it best. She said, we are sending our daughters to a work world or work environment that was created for our grandfathers.
Absolutely. And when she said that, I literally was, you know, I was like, oh my goodness, that absolutely makes sense. And I think recently, you know, some quotes that is kind of floating around is also, you know, we expect women to raise babies like they don't have work and work like they don't have babies. And and that's honestly our reality, is that women are expected to outperform at work. Mm-hmm. and we're also expected to outperform at home. And oh, by the way, you know, you also have all this demanding aspect of your life. You know, you got to work out, you got to be skinny, your kids have to, you know, eat organic, and all, you know, you need to definitely be practicing your gratitude journal every morning and morning routine, and you know, you got to cook breakfast, meal planning. I'm like, this is too much. I can't do this.
There was a recent report that came out that said that working mothers currently spend as much time with their children in active, like, play and engagement with their children as stay-at-home moms did in the 70s.
I believe it. I spend a lot of time with my kids. I started timing because I'm an engineer, by the way, and I literally like started timing, you know, how much time I'm actually spending with my kids. And it is, you know, at least 20% of my time is literally sitting down and just like unplugging with my kids. And and so for me, I don't feel like I am giving up anything by, you know, by being an ambitious woman and working. And I know, Christine, you had a thought, so
well,
go ahead.
There, I think that it's like we are expected to hold these full-time careers and excel at them and just go above and beyond, but then we're also expected to hold all of the traditional, you know, roles as a mother, but it's on crack almost, you know, like where you're like organic and be skinny and have a perfect Instagram and also do two full-time jobs plus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Mary Beth, I know what, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I think that's really where the challenge comes in, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's the expectation and reality just are not aligned. And we're finding that the women that are really struggling, and look, all women are struggling. All new mothers are struggling. 25% of women are going back to work at 2 weeks. That's just like an insane, ridiculous
problem. That is staggering.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And we could go down the path of like why we need paid leave and probably talk about that for an hour. But, you know, I think really what is interesting is that I think we thought that the women who were college educated, who had working mothers, who, you know, delayed having babies to grow their career, we're going to be able to make this transition much easier, and they are the ones that are struggling just as much as any other new mom.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and I think from my own experience, what happened is I remember walking back into work, and, you know, the first day I was back, I went back on a Friday, and I always recommend to all of my clients and all the moms that I work with that you go back midweek or towards the end of the week, because then you know, have a short first couple days and
correct.
Then you get to the weekend. I even went back on a Friday.
I went back on a Thursday. And I didn't go to work on Friday because like, we get Fridays. Yeah, we work from home Fridays. Yeah. So I'm like, awesome.
Yeah. And I remember like that morning, you know, okay, this is going to be a ramp. I'm going to just like clear out my inbox. And by the end of the day, I had a full suite of projects. I was back in it. I was, you know, working that weekend. The expectation was that I just went back to exactly who I was before as a professional woman, even though my whole world had changed.
That is powerful. That is significant. And I think that, you know, that was one of the things that drew me to you, Mary Beth, was how you've basically built this, you know, consulting agency of some sort that literally supports, you know, career-driven women that are smashing the glass ceilings. They all of a sudden realize that they need support in aligning their roles, you know, as a parent with their existing ambitions and goals. So
exactly. So I think when you walk back into work, right, like you're not surrounded by other moms who are necessarily right at that same point, right? Like I remember I mentioned earlier that I worked with all men, but I had women kind of on my broader, you know, team, right, peripheral teams. And I remember asking some of those women who were moms, how do I do this? You know, how do I make this transition successfully? And I just feel like I'm drowning all over the place. And I was met with responses like, oh, it just gets better. You'll figure it out. You'll adjust to your new normal. It just takes time. You know, and at that point, my baby was 3 months old. I was still in, okay, eat, play, sleep every 3 hours, right? So you're in this crazy mentality and you're not sleeping at night. And the idea of, oh, it just takes time for me, and, you know, being pretty type A girl who read Lean In on her honeymoon, I was like, that's not an acceptable answer, right? Like, I need tangible things that I can do and things that I can work through and ways that I can set up my life that is going to make it a little bit easier. And that, for me, I just didn't have that peer group at work who was at that same point in their personal life.
No, I mean, I think that you definitely, you know, you've basically hit this pain point that exists in today in corporate America and even outside of corporate America. And for me, it's also one of the premise for Mother Honestly, because, you know, we found out that a lot of women were, you know, the expectation it remains the same at home.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I mean, I put myself in. I'm one of those people that cook from scratch. You know,
I am too. I was gonna say I live by those traditional gender roles because it's what's working for us right now. And I'm, you know, I do work mostly from home. Sure. So, but at the same time,
you're making adjustments.
Yeah, I've really had to adjust my life. And there, I mean, I still like my husband does the dishes every night, single night.
Send your husband my way, by the way.
But and I mean, and it's. You know, it might seem to some people, oh, that's just one little thing. But that one little thing on the plate of what I have is huge.
Correct. Mary Beth, walk us through. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I think you hit it on the head that it's what works for your family, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you want to be in a traditional gender role and you want to be stay at home and you want your husband to work, fantastic. If that works for you.
Yeah.
But the thing is that doesn't work for so many women anymore.
Right.
And so how do we make those adjustments at home and at work to understand this new model of parenting where both parents have to be very involved and both parents have, you know, careers that are demanding and both people are interested in continuing to grow both their families and their careers.
And that's exactly, I think, for me personally, where we're at is, you know, my husband and I are both engineers and we literally, you know, bust our behinds off. But at the same time, our family is the focus for us. It's our number one focus. And we, even though we're leaders at work, we put our family first. And sometimes, and that is, you know, it's been eye opening just to see how we've been able to kind of split our responsibilities so that we're supportive of each other. And that's where I'm going next, Mary Beth, because I know you are actually coming on next month. You're going to come talk to our members. We have a monthly group coaching call, and Mary Beth is going to walk our members through how to split responsibilities between two working parents, because that's the model that a lot of our members currently are in, where they are working full time or part time and their husbands are doing the same. And so how do you really split that responsibilities in a way that leaves both parties, you know, not stressed out, not burned out, also fulfilled and engaged with, you know, what's happening at home. So can you tell us more a little bit about that? What the work that you've done in that area where you're helping women plan their career transition, but also plan, you know, handling two working parents?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that second shift is so important because it's really that feeling that you walk back in the door and you have a whole other day, right? And we've also heard from working parents that they get to work and they feel like, oh my gosh, I just had an entire work day this morning, right? Getting my kids out the door or trying to get to daycare or whatever it is, right? And so, you know, we're up early, we're walking into work like we've already had an entire work day, and then you get home and you have that same kind of second shift, right? And so what is really interesting about splitting responsibilities is really expectations and how, at the end of the day, you feel about these roles. I found that a lot of the moms that I work with, it doesn't really come up until the question of who stays home when my kid is sick, right? So you get that call in the morning from either maybe your nanny that can't come in, or you are up in the middle of the night and your baby has a fever and can't go to daycare. What happens? And the assumption in many, many families is that the mom stays home.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of women, that's kind of eye-opening because it's like, why is that the assumption? Why am I sacrificing, you know, my day at work? Even if they want to stay home, right? It's just this idea that, like, why haven't we talked about this? Why haven't we had a conversation about it? And why is it just assumed that I'm always going to be the one that has to take that step back? And so, you know, there's a little bit of resentment that really comes up and feeling of that they're getting pushed, their career is getting pushed aside. And there's been some research actually around how the expectations of men and their respect for their partner's careers really plays into this. So if a man is, yes, I completely respect my wife's or my partner's career, and I really understand what she's trying to drive towards, and I believe that we are both equal in this relationship and that we both contribute to the family in multiple ways. He is going to be in a better position to make adjustments for your career. He's going to want to partner with you.
Absolutely.
Whereas if a man has that more traditional kind of mindset that he is supposed to be the breadwinner, even if he's making less money currently, even if he is not the breadwinner of the family at the moment, but if he believes that that is his role and that he thinks he's trying to, you know, get to that point where the woman can maybe take a step back, he's subconsciously or unconsciously or very much consciously going to probably take steps to kind of push your career a little bit to the side. And it's not that they're intentionally doing that, it's just that they see their role in the family as being that primary breadwinner. And so when things like who stays home with the kid when the baby's sick comes up, his expectation is like, that can't be me. There's
Correct.
No way that I can do that, right? And so I think the first step is really just sitting down as a couple and having these conversations. And it's tough, especially when no one is sleeping and when things are still chaotic. And so really, as you're in it, it's like, how can you take the time, you know, grab that glass of wine on a Friday night because you're not going out anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then have a really honest conversation about, you know, what are my expectations in this family? What is the role that I want to play? And, you know, how does my own belief change that? And I think for a lot of men, we have found that they go into these partnerships and they go into these relationships and marriages really on equal footing. They become a parent and their perception changes. They start to feel the pressure to be that breadwinner. And so, you know, it's both sides of the coin where people are feeling a lot of pressure and expectations and not talking to each other about what that is, right?
And I think that as women, you know, there's that maternal instinct that
mm-hmm.
is a
yeah,
that totally makes a difference. Because even for me, I went into marriage, you know, thinking, you know, I already know that I am a high achieving, high performing woman, and mm-hmm. and even at that, I went into marriage, you know, basically doing the cooking, the cleaning, the everything.
Yeah.
Because yeah. quote unquote, I have to be wife material. So even while I was dating, you know, I was setting this expectation
right.
that, oh my God, look at me. I can balance a wonderful career
very
and
nice.
I can do all of these things at home as well. Marry me.
Did
you know,
we set ourselves up.
Yeah.
And so I already
yeah.
set this expectations. And so when we got married, you know, the expectations actually got worse. You know, because
yeah.
now you're married and you now have a baby. And he's like, oh, yeah, since you're so good at all of those things anyways that you've been doing,
right.
why don't you keep doing that? I'm going to keep working and making money. I'm like, oh, by the way, I am also making money.
Yeah.
So
money.
We're
exactly.
like, how do we balance this? Yeah. And it took real conversations with my husband. I said, look,
yeah.
look, we have to sit down. We are both, you know, equal partners in this institution.
Mm-hmm.
I bring in half of what we make. You bring in half. And so I cannot bear the responsibilities of the household duties. And
yeah.
so we talked about, okay, what is it going to take? Is it going to take outsourcing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to take, you know, you picking up, you know, about 40 to 50% of what needs to be done? And at the end of the day, we both made the financial sacrifice of saying, you know what, we're going to outsource. So we
right.
invested in
yep.
a nanny and we said this, the nanny is going to do the cleaning. She's going to take care of the kids. She's going to do X, Y, and Z. He's going to work on the house and I'm going to work on, you know, making sure that we have dinner ready. And so that was
yep.
how we did it. And it works. And we
yep.
made that financial sacrifice and we are both contributing to it. So basically saying, okay, we're both going to pay for the nanny. That way the nanny
yep.
is helping us out and we're going to both do our, you know, pick up the slacks on what's left. And so I think
yep.
that this is a challenge to women in how you really need to have that conversation. You cannot, because what happened, Mary Beth, is exactly what you had said initially, is I grew very resentful. I would like
mm-hmm.
wake up and be like, look at this MF. He is not doing
yeah.
anything. He is just sleeping. I'm the one waking
yeah.
up early to breastfeed, to do X, Y, and Z. And it became mentally
yeah.
exhausting. So I went off a rant there. So.
No, but I think, you know, and I think that's what happens is we get to this point, you know, where we don't have these conversations and then there's that moment where you're crying on the floor of the kitchen or whatever it is and your husband goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. What can I do to help?
They're
and
so confused.
That is, Right. They're so confused. And I think the problem is that it's not about helping. It's about being a partner.
Correct.
Right? So how do we actually have those conversations, split up responsibilities, determine who's going to be take full ownership for something and not just, okay,
I'll help out.
Help
I'll babysit. Right. Like, no, you're not babysitting our kids.
Babysitting
you're parenting is what you're doing.
And I think some of that also is reinforced externally, right? Like, you know, how many times has your husband been praised for being out with the kids on his own? Or for, oh my gosh, you get to go on a girls' night. Wow, your husband's so great that he's babysitting the kids. And you're like, no, he's just a parent, right?
Right.
So I think there's also this expectation externally that gets put on us. And that leads to, you know, I mean, mom guilt and mom shame right there, right?
Because no, I mean, we're not, that's not what we're doing, obviously. I think even for us, I'm gonna honestly, you know, we would have, you know, gatherings for moms and we expect moms to show up. But, you know, we're getting excuses like, oh, you know, I'm with the kids. And I'm like, it is, you know, this event is 7 o'clock. Your husband is back from work. He can watch the kids. He can watch the kids. Mm-hmm. You deserve one night a month to actually, you know, invest in yourself and hang out with your friends. And so for me, it's very personal in the regards that women, you know, once we become moms, we literally stop trying to connect, to grow our personal, you know, careers and ambition because we believe that we now have work to do. And men don't think that way. They don't think that, oh my God, I now have a kid. I now have work to do. So I will stop, you know, developing myself personally. I'll stop networking and I'll stop doing all these great things that will move the needle and, you know, fulfill my career and my life. They don't think that way. So why do we have to think that way? So Mary Beth, I'm so excited for our upcoming group coaching, masterclass with the Mother Honestly members next month, because I think that will really set the tone for how we achieve and accomplish our goals and ambitions this year, because we need women to really start having that conversations with their husbands and saying, how can we partner so that I am living a healthy, fulfilled and productive life? Because at the end of the day, this adds on to your mental workload.
Right.
You become resentful, you are tired, you are exhausted, and you're not moving the needle on all fronts.
And we need to put ourselves back on the list, and we need to put ourselves at the top of that list, right? Like, because I think we always put ourselves last, and that's very natural. But, you know, when you are, I always say this with the women that I work with, that if you are pouring from an empty cup, you have nothing to give.
Right.
And so we need to make sure that we're fulfilling ourselves and sustaining ourselves. And like, you know, like the airlines, you've got to put your oxygen mask on first before you help
Absolutely.
Others. Right. So what are you doing professionally and personally to make sure that you are feeling that you can give and that you are in a position where you can continue to go after your personal goals and your professional goals? And that's really what the work is that we're doing over at Live Work Lead, is trying to support both men and women and employers to make that transition easier, because it is a really tough, you know, moment in your life where everything seems to be coming to a head. And especially today when people are delaying having children and you're at a point in your career where you're making that leap to that next level, or you're trying to make that leap to that next level at the same time when you're having children. And so it's a really messy space. And it's just about being able to be intentional, right? I think we're all just kind of trying to get it done and we're not being thoughtful about it. And so by actually taking that step back and giving yourself a little bit of time, whether it's that once a month in the evening, or, you know, it's doing something that really is going to help you professionally. You know, we have a virtual program that we run. It's really important to be thoughtful about how you are kind of addressing all of these things logistically, and also like just your goals. What do you want?
What do you want to accomplish?
Quite simply, what does work for your family right now? And are you okay with that? Because I think my whole concern is when it feels like it just happens to us versus us really being thoughtful and saying, yeah, this is actually what I want to do. I do want to take a step back. I
Absolutely.
Want to spend more time with my kids. Like, those are totally amazing, you know, situations that you're setting up for yourself, as long as you are feeling intentional about it and that you are making that.
Yeah, as long as it's not forced yeah. and it's, yeah, you know, it's exactly. coming from a place of abundance is what I tell people. Yeah. If your decisions yeah. are coming from a place of scarcity, oh, we can mm-hmm. definitely, then that's a problem. But if it's right. coming from, like you said, you know, you're intentional about it, it's coming from a place of abundance in terms of, yeah, yeah, I just want to take this time to stay home with my kids. Because mm-hmm. I deserve it, because I've worked so hard. And I think that I just want to create space for these kids yeah. right now. And we've seen a lot of women in our community that have intentionally taken that step. And you don't find these women resentful because they chose, you know, in a healthy way to do this. And they have a path to realizing their dreams and their ambitions. They're still nurturing their goals. While they're home with their kids, they're still, you know, finding creative outlets. They're still doing things, whether it's consulting or it's, you know, it's blogging or it's being an influencer. They're looking for ways to still nurture their ambitions and their goals mm-hmm. while creating that space for motherhood. So Mary Beth, exactly. it's been a wonderful conversation with you. One last thing for you is what has been the biggest challenge? I know you work a lot with corporations and around paid, you know, parental leave, around, you know, workforce balance, right, workforce alignment. And can you give us a brief summary of what has been the biggest hurdle that you've seen employers, you know, try to climb when it comes to supporting women in the workforce, especially women that are taking maternity leaves or women that are re-entering the workforce? What has been the biggest struggle for them?
To be honest, I think the biggest struggle is lack of communication and lack of understanding.
Wow.
You know, there's a...
It's usually barrier. The simple things, right?
Yeah, right? I know. But it's that they don't... You know, a lot of managers and senior leaders, they don't know where their place is, right? This seems to be on the personal side of life where they shouldn't be, you know, providing support, or it doesn't seem like it's okay. Which is really interesting considering that they, you know, give us our health care and all those things that are very personal.
Right.
But for some reason, this feels like a place that they shouldn't go. And I've had managers and leaders say things to me like, well, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. Or I didn't know if I could ask her when she was returning to work. So I just, you know, kind of dismissed it and figured she'll let me know. And so there's this lack of understanding between the employee and between the manager and the leadership team about what that support really needs. And it is individual. I think the other really big piece of this is this maternal unconscious bias that happens in the workplace. And it's not malicious, right? I don't think that leaders intentionally want to push women on the mommy track or, you know, block them from raising their ambition or getting to that next level, but they might have been burned, right? They had that woman who went out on maternity leave and never came back, or they had that person who, you know, decided that they wanted to take a step back. And so they make assumptions about all the women on their team and all of the new mothers or new parents on their team based on their past experiences. And so what a lot of the work that we do is about helping companies understand, you know, that every mom is different, every baby is different, every family is different, and every team is different. And so, you know, it's really about being open and honest and communicating with your leadership team about what your expectations are returning to work and providing that support through that first critical year. Because, you know, let's be honest, none of us should really be going back to work at 2 weeks or
Correct.
8 weeks yeah. or even 12 weeks, right? I mean, you know, so that already is broken. But when we are going back to work that early, you know, things are going to shift significantly over the next year. And so the accommodations that we might need, or the way that the overwhelming feelings that we might have when we first return to work, they may stay, but they may also not. And so, you know, making sure that we're keeping that line of communication open so that if someone does take a step back for 3 months or 6 months or a year, it doesn't mean that they've taken a step back forever. And so really making sure that we're having that kind of open communication and we're helping managers and employees facilitate those conversations. And so that's why it's really important that we, you know, both provide training and workshops for the managers and for the leaders, as well as providing support for the men and women who are going out on leave, returning from leave, and really, you know, getting through that kind of first critical year as a new parent and as a new working parent. And we, you know, we definitely... have resources. I know I'm very excited to be joining you guys in about a month and providing the master class on that second shift and splitting responsibilities. But we also, you know, have some resources that I will share with you guys, and hopefully we can put in the notes of the podcast. But
that'd
we have,
awesome.
You know, some steps that you can be taking to really help ease that transition, how to have those conversations with your manager. We also have some research and data that we'll share, just a white paper on what the maternal wall is. And so that's, you know, if you're really interested in kind of thinking, how do we change the culture at our employer, I think having a lot of those resources and data can start to facilitate those conversations.
That's awesome, Mary Beth. Where can our listeners find you?
So you can find us at liveworklead.com, LiveWorkLead.com, and definitely on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the things at liveworklead. And we are, you know, always thrilled to help and support you both personally, but also, like I said, we work with a lot of organizations. So if you're interested in kind of figuring out how to change the culture within your organization, we're here to support you through that conversation as well.
That's awesome, Mary Beth. Thank you so much. Yeah. And I know I'm going to reach out to you after this, because as we were talking, a lot of ideas started popping in my head, and I'm like, okay, I got to text her.
So get ready for some work, Mary Beth.
So get ready for some collaboration. How about that?
I like that.
Thank you so much, Mary Beth. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. Enjoy sunny LA, I'm sure, because we are in freezing cold weather here in Detroit. So
about to hit a snowstorm.
Yeah, we're getting ready for a snowstorm, so that's awesome. Have a wonderful day, and I will we'll connect with you soon.
Thanks, Mary Beth.
All right, bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mother Honestly podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode, we urge that you go on and rate, review, and subscribe to the Mother Honestly podcast.
Also follow us on Instagram.
Yes. And if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, you can reach out to me, the podcast manager, Kristen Baffo, at kristen@motherhonestly.com.
I'm so excited we have our own email. It makes us feel legit. Well, see you guys when you rate, review, and subscribe to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.